Well, good afternoon. I am so grateful to be here with all of you today to share with you as we settle into this Advent season 2021. When Mother Abby invited me to be here with you all today, she also gave me the freedom to share about pretty much anything I wanted to, which in my experience is not always the case, and so I was very grateful for that opportunity as well. But as I was preparing for today and thinking about what I wanted to share about, I thought, well, it's going to be Advent, and so I'll share about waiting, right? I mean, it's Advent, it's very on brand for the Advent season. Yeah. That was a couple months ago, and as I have been preparing for today and ruminating on not only the concept of waiting, but the reality of waiting in my very own life, I am reminded that waiting is not, in fact, simple, and it is not straightforward. And so what I have to offer to you today is not a comprehensive how to wait, because I don't have the time or even the wisdom to share all of that with you. But I hope that what I do have to offer today is helpful. I hope that it meets you where you are, in whatever way you might be waiting, and I hope that it serves you well. So before we dive in, I want to invite you once again to join me in prayer. Let's pray. Oh God, gather us now to be with you as you are with us. Soothe our tiredness, quiet our fretfulness, curb our aimlessness, relieve our compulsiveness. Let us be easy for a moment. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Back in December of 2014, I was living outside of Atlanta, Georgia, and I was dating my now husband, Brad. And we thought, given that it was the holiday season, it would be fun to spend a date night at the Atlanta Botanical Gardens, getting to see their beautiful light display. And so one Friday night, we went down there and we got to walk through the grounds and see all of the beautiful, creative, colorful, twinkling lights. There was holiday music playing in the background as we strolled along. There were little stands where we could pick up a cup of hot cocoa or perhaps another beverage of choice. And we thoroughly enjoyed ourselves. It was like a real live Hallmark Christmas movie. And so after this wonderful experience, we decided we would stop into the gift shop there to pick up a little memento of our time. I was thinking like maybe a little ornament for the tree or something, you know, festive like that. Well, for a reason I can't quite remember at the time, I ended up leaving. My little memento was a grow your own Venus fly trap kit. Now, I know that that seems bizarre because it is, but it's even more bizarre because I have no semblance of a green thumb, okay? I can't even keep a cactus alive. And so the idea that I was going to be able to not only grow but take care of this exotic carnivorous plant, I mean, it is beyond me now. It was a very ambitious purchase. But lo and behold, I went home that night with a grow-your-own Venus flytrap kit. And the very next morning, I woke up, and I decided that I was going to try to make this happen. So I opened the kit, I get out the directions, and I realized that they're pretty intense and pretty complicated, and so I wanted to follow them to a T. So I look at the very first step, and the very first step was to take the container, the small plastic clear cylinder, and the soil that was provided, and pour the soil into the container. Okay, done, easy enough. The next step was to take these tiny little seeds and sprinkle them on top of the tiny little pieces of soil in the container, making sure not to bury them, because apparently that's a no-go with Venus flytraps. And so I sprinkle the seeds on top, done. Next step has to do with water. I found out I needed distilled water. I couldn't just use any ordinary water. And they suggested that I either go to the grocery store to buy some or collect my own rainwater. And it was not a particularly rainy day, and so I decided to go to the grocery store, get a gallon, and bring it back. There was a little plastic tray, a round tray, that I then had to pour the water into, the distilled water into. I then had to place the container with the soil and the seeds on top of the tray of water, because apparently Venus flytraps don't consume their water from the top down, they consume it from the bottom up, and so that was another step. Place it in a well-lit area, and once that was finished, I looked at the very next step, and the very next step said, wait. All right. I mean, in the moment, I thought, okay, yeah, that makes sense. I'm growing something. Growth does not happen overnight. Of course, I was going to have to wait, but I will tell you that as the days dragged on, and turned into weeks. And as the weeks dragged on and turned into nearly 2 months, I grew bitter and I grew impatient and I wanted to just toss the whole thing out. I was very tempted to do that several times. I did finally get my little sprout and all was well, but man, that waiting. It turns out that waiting step was actually the most difficult one for me. I wish that there were more steps that I could actually do, because then it would feel like I was contributing, I was doing something, instead of just having to sit back and trust the process. The waiting step was hard because I had done all that I could do, and the rest was out of my control. For many of us, waiting can be a challenge. I mean, I want you to think about it. If something fun or exciting is coming up, one of the very first phrases that often leaves our mouths is, I can't wait. And we fail to realize that no, like actually, literally, we cannot wait. We don't know how. We live in a culture that likes our food fast. We want our texts, our emails, our phone calls answered immediately. We avoid lines and traffic and the DMV at all costs. If a package takes more than 2 days to be delivered on our doorstep, I start to complain pretty quickly. And we've now discovered this way of spending our time where we like to watch entire seasons, sometimes entire series of TV shows, all in one sitting, or at least whenever we want to. And when we are forced to wait an entire week for a new episode, we don't know what to do with ourselves. That has been our experience in our household. We are Great British Bake Off fans, and they have released episodes week by week this past season, and I tell you what, it was torture. We live in a world that expects instant gratification and consumption. And as a result, we have been trained to hate to wait. Of course, those examples that I just gave you are very superficial, very trivial. The truth is that in our lives, we often find ourselves in much less trivial seasons of waiting. Waiting for answers. Waiting for cures, waiting for a spouse or a child, waiting for a job, a sign, waiting for justice, for wholeness, for peace. We wait for our hopes to be realized. And if you're like me, if we're not careful, we can often lose our hope along the way. I don't know what you are waiting for today, but I wonder if you can relate. As much as we hate it and we fight it, and we often try to find a way around it, as the people of God, we are often called to wait. In fact, we see God's people wait over and over and over again, all throughout Scripture. It's a trend, a theme that occurs more often than we probably think is reasonable, both in Scripture and in our very own lives. In fact, during this Advent season, we observe the waiting of God's people. Now, our Advent lasts 4 weeks. For the people of God who were actually living it, their Advent lasted 400 years. During this intertestamental period of time, God was seemingly silent. And during this time, multiple generations of God's people were waiting for the promised Messiah, for the redemption of God's people. Centuries were filled with the deepest of longings for all to be made right. It's a lot of waiting. And today, I would like to take a look at one particular person who has caught my attention, who was a part of this waiting generation. Her name is Anna. And we are given 3 whole verses about her in Scripture. Really helpful. But I think that those few verses have a lot to teach us about what it looks like to wait faithfully. So in Luke 2, we read about the birth of Jesus. It's a very familiar passage for many of us, especially during this time of year. And if you're like me, I often read in Luke 2 up until about the point where the shepherds go and visit Jesus and Mary and Joseph in the stable, in the manger, the whole nativity situation. And then I tend to stop. But it goes on. There's more to chapter 2 that I often miss. And I decided to keep reading. So, what we learn if we keep reading is that right after Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph took him to the temple in Jerusalem, where they were going to present him and dedicate him according to Jewish custom. So they take him to the temple in Jerusalem. They are in the temple courts. And Scripture tells us that an elderly man named Simeon, who was filled with the Holy Spirit, sees Jesus, recognizes him as the promised Messiah, and starts talking exuberantly to anyone and everyone who will listen about who Jesus is. It says even Mary and Joseph were astounded about what this man was saying about their child. And it is at this moment that we are introduced to Anna. Luke chapter 2, verses 36 through 38 reads, "There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem." Now again, 3 verses, not much to go on. But I do think that there are a few clues here in these 3 verses that lead me to believe that Anna knew what it was to wait. First, we learn that she belonged to the tribe of Asher, which was one of the 12 tribes of Israel. And so what this tells us is that she was part of those 400 years of generations of people waiting for the promised Messiah. Not only was she in her older years in life and had been waiting her entire life, but generations before her had been waiting for the exact same thing. And so this was in her bones. She knew what it was to long and to wait for all things to be made right. It was a part of who she was. Second, we learn that she was also a widow for decades. She had experienced grief, loss, uncertainty, loneliness. She knew what it was to long for comfort and healing and companionship, just to name a few. In fact, there were probably many hopes that she knew would never be realized as she reached her later years. And yet the third thing that we learn about her is that she spent her waiting time in the temple, worshiping, praying, fasting night and day. The temple was her waiting room. She lived a life of hope, of expectation, of anticipation. And as I look at the life and the story of Anna, if you ask me, that is not an easy thing to do. Because it is difficult for me to hold on to hope when my circumstances would lead me to do otherwise. As my friend Diana Groover, author of a book called Companions in the Darkness, writes, "This sort of perseverant, expectant hope is difficult to maintain. As each day passes with no sign of change, no hint that the following day will hold anything different, hope easily loses its immediacy. It grows quiet and still. And I sit down from weariness instead of standing at attention on the lookout." Now, I do want to be clear here. Waiting expectantly, the way that we see Anna do, waiting with hope, does not negate our experience. It doesn't mean that we gloss over it. It doesn't mean that we pretend like it isn't hard. Our lived experiences are difficult, and we need to live them. They are valid. But what it does mean is that we believe our current circumstances are not the end of the story. I believe that Anna was able to do this by prioritizing her faith, even when her circumstances gave her plenty of reasons to just toss it all out, to walk away. She took every opportunity to draw closer to the heart of God, day in and day out, for decades, and in doing so, she cultivated a faith that was able to recognize Jesus when he was in her very midst. What I believe is so beautiful about Anna and about her story isn't that she got everything she was waiting for, because I guarantee you she didn't. But instead, what is so beautiful about Anna and her story is the person she became while she was waiting. She became a person who could recognize Jesus in the most unexpected of forms, as a tiny, helpless, humble little baby in the temple courts, when he could have just been any other little baby. But she saw him for who he was. Today, as we consider our own waiting seasons alongside the example set for us in Anna's story, I think that that begs the question, how can that be for me? How can that be for you? How can that be for us too? What was it about Anna and the way she waited that helped her become someone who could see and recognize Jesus the way she did? Because I don't know about you, but I want to become the kind of person that recognizes God with us even when I least expect God to be there. I want to be a person that waits with hope on my tiptoes, in a culture that far too easily succumbs to disappointment and cynicism. Here's what I believe. I believe that being in the presence of God sustained Anna. I believe that it helped her hold on to hope when all hope seemed lost. She prioritized her faith when her circumstances gave her plenty of reasons not to. She practiced being in the presence of God for decades. And in doing so, she became a person who was able to notice God in her midst. And that is what we are getting ready to celebrate in just a few short weeks. The miracle of the incarnation, God with us in our very midst. And as I think about the incarnation, I just can't get over it. It's a miracle. As Anna was waiting, one of the pieces of scripture that was probably very familiar to her, and honestly, it's also a scripture that might be familiar to many of us, is Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We hear that phrase, to wait on or to wait for the Lord, over and over again, all throughout scripture. And it's easy to assume that when we talk about waiting for or waiting on God, we are talking about waiting on God to do something. Or maybe we even start to believe that we're just waiting for God to show up, like God isn't anywhere to be found. But if we dig a bit deeper, we learn that the Hebrew word that's used for wait on or wait for is kava. I don't know if I pronounced that right. And it actually has more than one meaning. Kava means to wait expectantly, which is what we read when in the English translation. But there's another layer there. It also means to bind together. And so as Anna would reference this verse in the middle of her waiting, Anna knew that in her waiting, she was being bound together with God. And the same is true for us. In our waiting, we are bound to God, and God is bound to us. God enters in. God is present. God is active. God is with us while we wait. And so not only are we waiting on the Lord or for the Lord, we are waiting with the Lord. And I don't know about you, but for me, that is really good news. Because I have no interest in waiting alone. God waits with us. God is with us in our longing, our pain, our uncertainty, our restlessness, our discouragement, our fear. God holds us, guides us, sits with us, and works in and through us while we wait. The miracle of the incarnation is not something to be overlooked. And if I am honest with you today, the hope of the incarnation, the fact that God is with me in the middle of it all, is sometimes the only thing that gets me through. As hard and as hopeless, as cruel and unfair as waiting can seem, I have to believe that there is good work happening beneath the surface, precisely because God is present. The miracle of the incarnation stands true for us today. God is actively with us. Our call as we wait is to live like we believe that is true. To pay attention to God's presence by being present. As Henry Nouwen put it, in scripture, those who are waiting very actively. They know that what they are waiting for is growing from the ground on which they are standing. Right here is a secret for us about waiting. If we wait in the conviction that a seed has been planted and that something has already begun, it changes the way we wait. Active waiting implies being fully present to the moment with a conviction that something is happening where we are and that we want to be present to it. A waiting person is someone who is present to the moment, believing that this moment is the moment. Something that kind of blows my mind a little bit about Anna's waiting story is that if you think about it, the night that Jesus was born, Anna didn't know. Anna was just continuing to faithfully show up at the temple, worshiping, praying, fasting. She wasn't made aware of the significant thing that had happened that night, the way that perhaps the shepherds were, or anyone else that we might lump into the nativity. In fact, a lot of God's people who were waiting expectantly didn't have a clue. But Anna lived as if she believed that that night could be the night. And it was. And not long after, she got to see a glimpse of that. A glimpse of Jesus. Anna was becoming someone who could notice the presence of God. But here's the really cool part. As she was spending time in the presence of God, she was also becoming someone who reflected the character of God in the world around her. She became a reminder of God's faithfulness, a reminder of what it looks like to hope in God's promises day in and day out. And today, 2,000 years later, we can look to her and we can say, there's someone who shows me what it's like to wait faithfully. There's someone who shows me and reminds me of the faithfulness of God. And so the question for all of us today is, who are we becoming while we wait? Are we setting ourselves up to see and to notice the presence of Jesus in our midst? He's there. And it is his very presence that's able to sustain us while we wait. Are we waiting like Anna? Waiting with the Lord, bound together with Jesus. I wholeheartedly believe that when we do, we are setting ourselves up to slowly become more and more like Jesus. A continuation of the incarnation, if you will. Christ within us. We don't just wait for the Lord for our own sake. There is comfort and peace to be found in that reality, and I cling to that. But when we wait patiently with the Lord, we take on the character of Christ. We not only notice God's presence in our midst, but we become reminders of God's presence, of God's faithfulness, of God's love in the world around us. And I believe that more than anything right now, this world needs reminders of God's love. Because the love of God, it can change everything. Love is patient. It is not rushed. It is not hurried. It is not forced. Love is patient. It is not passive. It is not indifferent. It is not stagnant. Love is patient. And love is present. Love is with us. within us. May it be so. Amen.